Welcome to the UGA BCM Podcast, a part of the Baptist Collegiate Ministries located on the campus of the University of Georgia. For more information about us or to learn how to get involved, follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and find us online at UGABCM.org. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Guys, welcome today to the UGA BCM podcast, the Friday interview edition. I am Tommy Fountain, and with me is our other campus minister,
Jerry Johnson.
And today we have with us Dr. Jennifer Walker. She's a microbiology professor here at the University of Georgia. She is also a alumni of the BCM. I guess it was the BSU then, yes. And former president. And so, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us today.
I am very excited to be here.
Great, Jennifer. Thanks for being here. Tell us what you're doing currently. Tell us about your family, a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So my title at UGA is senior lecturer. I just got a promotion in
Congrats.
The Department of Microbiology. So I'm the now undergraduate coordinator. So I facilitate all things with the microbiology department related to our undergraduates who are majoring in microbiology. I also teach primarily our introductory microbiology classes for our pre-nursing, pre-med, pre-vet, pre-dental. A lot of our pre-health students, poultry science students take our classes as well. We get a kind of a broad swath of students that come through and take our introductory courses. I also teach a grad class. I teach TAs how to teach once a year. So that's my job here at UGA. And then I'm also a wife of John Walker, Reverend John Walker at Beach Haven Baptist Church here
What's
in Athens.
What's his position there?
He is associate, Tommy, you're going to have to help me out on this. He's associate minister, but I just call him executive pastor.
Right,
that's kind
sure,
of
yeah.
the short he, end, he, but he would
pretty
hate.
Pretty much covered everything from, I think, students through senior adults at some point in his
yes,
ministry. Isn't that
yes.
pretty right?
He hasn't done, head pastor, and he hasn't done music ministry.
And how long have y'all been married?
We've been married 22 years, right. And 21 and a half of those were at Beach Haven.
Okay.
So we literally, he finished seminary and came to Beach Haven.
Awesome. So y'all left UGA in Athens and then came right back.
Yes.
Were y'all married in college?
We met at the BCM, and we got married at Beach Haven. And then John went to seminary. I stayed here to actually work as a lab technician. And then when we got married, I went back to Texas for about 6 months, and then we moved here and didn't expect to be back at Beach Haven initially. We actually interviewed around some smaller churches in the area because I was already going to start grad school. And there was, sadly enough, there was an opening because of the death of the youth minister, Larry Shackelford, at Beach Haven. And so they asked John to come back because he was Larry's intern, summer college intern. So he came in and slid into that position of interim youth minister, and then our college and single adults minister left, and so they slid him over to that, and then
the rest minister of history. Of everything.
We yes. got
but John's the only man in the house, right?
Yes, I'm yeah, a daughter. So yes,
your other full-time
four
job.
Daughters.
Is
four daughters. Right. I have four daughters. Okay. I have twins that are about to turn 16, and I tell my students, you'll see the gray continue in my hair as they learn to drive. And then I have a 13-year-old who's almost 14, and then a 10-year-old who's almost 11.
Wow. So you are an alum of the BCM and one of the past presidents. And so tell us a little bit about your time here, what that was like. And I know Franklin was here at that point as well. And yeah.
Franklin had started as campus minister. It was Franklin and then another minister, Ron Little, and then Becky Matheny was head campus minister at the time. When I started as a freshman, I got involved with a singing group. Celebration is what we called ourselves at that point. And then I think my second year here at Georgia, I got into the prayer ministry that we kind of were trying to restart. Really, my senior year, I did not apply for president. I actually applied for vice president position because my brother was coming as a freshman the next year. And vice president was at that point kind of doing all the freshman activities. And so I wanted to kind of mother my brother while he was coming. But I got a call we had these crazy meetings to elect officers or leadership positions. So the council would meet until like 2 or 3 a.m. in Becky Matheny's house. And then they would call you in the middle of the night and say, hey, this is the position right. we're offering you. And so they're like, we want you to be president. I'm like, I'm going to have to pray about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. It's great, though.
That's awesome.
Give us a couple highlights and maybe a funny story from your time here at the BSU, BCM.
Yeah, a lot of the highlights are from like my experiences serving in the BCM.
Sure.
Definitely the singing group, the celebration group. We would go to these little bitty country churches. I grew up, most of my time was from Gwinnett County. So I didn't understand life outside of the Metro Atlanta area
okay.
until I started touring. And it was so much fun. But we did one funny story, just kind of crazy stuff that we would do together. We would have coffee nights here at the BCM. And so it was open mic and we would have coffee and people could come and read their poetry or play music or whatever. It was just kind of a fun get together and just a way to try to also get friends to come in and be familiar here in the building. But one night after our coffee night, someone said, hey, I've heard Terrell Hall has a ladder on the backside of the building that you can climb and look up and get on the roof and you could see the whole skyline of Athens. And we're like, cool, let's go. So we were walking. I mean, you know, it's like 11:30 midnight campus, you know, we're on campus. And so we get up there and sure enough, and it's probably gone. We probably made sure that it never got put back up or removed, but we climbed up, but we left somebody at the bottom to say, look out for us just in case campus police come by. And
make sure
kinda,
the ladder doesn't fall, right?
Right. Just in case something happens, be on the lookout for us. So we all climbed up. I can't remember. It was like 8 of us climbed up on Terrell Hall and we're looking around. It's really cool. And sure enough, campus police heads Great. Come over the roof line. And our first thought was hide. And some guy's like, don't run away. They're going to think we're doing something wrong. So we had to stand there and wait and watch these two campus police officers walk across the roof to us. And they're like, so what you doing up here? We're like, looking around.
We're having a prayer meeting.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And so, you know, they had to ask, are you drinking? Are you doing drugs? And we're like, no, none of that. And so they finally said, just please get down. So we come down and sure enough, the guy who was supposed to be spotting for us was gone. Like saw the police car come up and he bolted.
Great.
So we made up the story. We're like, let's go back to the BSU and let's hide. The rest of us hide, but send one of you, get yourself all sweaty and act like you've been running back here. Because we had all left our cars at the parking lot. He said, run up and tell the guy who was supposed to spot for us, tell him we're all in jail.
Oh, great.
So, you know, by this time it's like 12:30, almost 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And so we all kind of snuck around to the side and watched.
Right.
And sure enough, he's running up and he's telling the guy, hey, they're all in jail. You got to bail them out. They all got dragged off by campus police. He leaves and he goes down to the jail. He goes and looks for us.
No.
And we're just dying laughing here back at the building.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. You know, and this is before cell phones and all
right.
that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So.
That's great. That's awesome. Now, when you were present here, I believe the building was also expanded.
Yes.
Is that right?
This area that we're sitting in right now.
We're hoping that something like that might happen in this next generation.
So that would be lovely.
What was that like, that transition time of the building?
It was so exciting for us to see, one, people really wanting to invest in the BSU at that
right.
time and as well as the state.
Amen.
And you know, there was state Georgia Baptist Convention at that point, you know, was bringing, you know, Dr. White was here, you know, everyone who was kind of the big wig on the state, they were here. We had it was upstairs in the chapel where we had the official meeting. And, you know, it was the groundbreaking ceremony.
Right.
So we all had shovels and all that kind of good stuff, if I remember correctly. But it was really cool to see students, alumni, as well as our, you know, high administration in the state coming here to the campus and saying, we support what you're doing here, so much so that we're investing in a physical structure
right.
to allow you to expand your ministry.
In just about 4 or 5 years, this BCM at the University of Georgia is celebrating 100 years. It'll
yeah.
be 100 years that all the Georgia Baptist churches, 3,600 of them across the state, who own this ministry and sponsor and support this ministry, We'll celebrate 100 years of that of investment. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
So let me turn the corner a little bit. You're a professor, but you're also a believer. What advice would you give an incoming freshman, and from the academic perspective, as well as from as a Christian, how can a student balance those?
Yes. Yeah, so balancing, I really feel like students need to understand how their spiritual life and spiritual growth is actually the filter and the intersecting part of how they're approaching their academic life. The two aren't separate. Right. They're very much intertwined. And unfortunately, I've seen cases where that hasn't happened.
Sure.
You know, we've had students come to my class who are professing Christians who don't turn in work, you know, who are very vocal about their faith. But then their academic life does not support what Paul encourages us. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of the Lord.
Right.
And that's where I encourage freshmen to really take this perspective of, one, if you are, as a freshman, if you're a Christian and you profess Christ, this is your time to work out your faith and increase and grow your faith.
Not just mom and dad's faith.
Right. This is definitely your time. Do not shy away from the science classes that teach evolution. Do not shy. I took evolutionary biology, you know, as a sophomore, a junior here at Georgia. And I learned so much what the sciences were trying to tell me. And knowing, and the one perspective I wish people would have told me, particularly in science, is that we are constantly discovering new things in nature and in science. And so things I learned as a sophomore and junior in my science classes have changed over time. But what didn't change was the scripture and what who God is.
Right.
And so that was something that I could take pride in, that this is my faith. It's unchangeable, but yet I can still interact and intersect with what I'm learning in my philosophy class, in my English class, in my, you know, biology class. That doesn't, how can I take what I know with my faith and view it through Christ's lens of what the world is experiencing and how I can intersect with that?
Right. Yeah. I love what you said about kind of being a filter. A couple weeks ago, a couple of students were interviewing me on the podcast. They flipped it around. I had to sit in the chair where you're sitting. And that was one of the things I talked about, is that as a BCM, what we can help provide is a filter for which you then go into the academic world. And, you know, Scripture tells us, love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind.
Yes.
And so I think that's awesome. You know, COVID-19 has changed the world.
Yes.
It's changed the world. And with what you do in the classroom, I mean, you've found the solution to all this, right?
No. Oh, how we wish.
Yeah, I'm kidding. But seriously, how has COVID-19 changed the world for you guys here at the University of Georgia as faculty? And what's that look like even potentially going into the fall?
Okay. So there's been a huge amount of research and investment going on into understanding the disease, understanding ways to combat the disease, even methods to, like our masks and social distancing, all that's, you know, being looked at and researched and proven that this is definitely a very verifiable way of approaching combating spread of the disease.
Right.
As faculty, we have been very frustrated because there's just been so much lack of information because we're still trying to watch all this unfold. There is a lot of planning going into place, though, already. We've been, and I think I mentioned to y'all earlier, I just came out of a 2-hour faculty meeting last week. We're just in our department. We were discussing, okay, how are we going to space our students 6 feet apart? How are we going to rotate students through the classroom? And maintain social distancing. How can we, at this point, we're not requiring students to wear masks, but there's already petitions among faculty and students that say we need to. This should be a requirement. So those are some of the ways that, at least in our department, we're trying to be advocates for health of faculty, staff, and students here on campus.
Right.
So from the 90s until now, what are some of the other changes that you've seen here at the University of Georgia and among collegiate ministry?
I would say hands down diversity. And I know there's still some things we need to do here at UGA and at the BCM to be aware and maybe to diversify. But the students I went to school with back in the 90s, very, very different than today. Even my role, when I look at the list, the names on my role, just the variety of students from different parts of the world, not just parts of the state, but even the world that have become part of our classes, that's totally different than when I was a student.
And boy, what an opportunity to come to a world university here at the University of Georgia, really one of the top universities in the world, and experience that. It'd be a sadder place if we didn't have that kind of diversity.
Right, and that's where I would also go back to the freshmen and even, you know, other students here at Georgia, is taking advantage of that.
Sure. Right.
That experience, like I said, I grew up in Metro Atlanta, and I was ignorant of a lot of the other ways of life people lived around me, even just in the state.
Right. Right. That's good. That's good. So I know you and John, you and your husband John, y'all have both historically been active as alumni and in different roles on different boards and so forth here at the BCM. And we're currently in this place where we're trying to, you know, we're both fairly new. I'm really new and Jerry's fairly new. And so we're trying to actively build up or build back up our alumni and friends foundation and so forth. Why do you think it's important for alumni to be involved and invested here? And why, you know, what is it that's kind of tugged at y'all's heartstrings to historically do that?
Well, I would say for my husband and I, the time and energies that the ministers at the BCM poured into us as students and how much that influenced us and changed us for the better, right, is the biggest reason why we think alumni should pour back in. I mean, just the hours that those ministers spent in their offices. I doubt they got any work done when they came in. You know, the only work they had done was talking to us, just right, wandering into their office and sitting down. But just that energy that was poured into us, that's definitely something that, I mean, we are, right now, y'all are hosting the next generation of church leaders, you know, campus ministers. You're influencing them. I mean, David Platt's a perfect example.
David Platt plus professors, lawyers, doctors, missionaries.
Ministers, missionaries, yes.
All over the world, yes, from this BCM.
I can't tell you how many people I remember from my years at the BCM and where they're at now and how many of us are in ministry.
And it's such a unique time in your life. For us, it's so unique because I don't know of any other minister who sees their parishioners virtually every day of the week. I mean, I see some students
yes,
7 days a week,
right? Yeah. Yes,
on a regular basis. What other minister, unless you're, you know, your dad's a minister, you know,
sure,
you know, who gets to pour into their students like we do, mm-hmm, and who has the advantage of being able to be in the life of a minister to pour into them, mm-hmm, in the way that BCM offers? It's such a unique kind of thing.
I do want to tell you, you talked about the campus ministers investing into you guys. You can blame Franklin for us getting to grill you with questions today. We were talking about just different people that we could interview and so forth as we set up this podcast. And Franklin said, y'all should interview Jennifer. That would be awesome. And I was like, that's a great
Franklin
decision. That's awesome. So you can, one of those guys that invested in you, you can blame him for us quizzing you today.
He keeps coming back around, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's a lifelong minister in your life. That's true.
So now you and John met here, right?
Mm-hmm, we did.
Yeah, you said that earlier. And so I just want you guys that are listening out there today, you know, there is hope. Like if you're single and you're looking to mingle, like the BCM is the place for you anyway, right? Because this is a great location.
It is. So. Now, I do tell
mostly that John was able to get a girl like you. That's pretty amazing. I know.
Now,
John,
the interesting thing is we supposedly met our freshman year, but we did not start dating until the last semester or last quarter of our senior year.
Oh, wow.
So we had to kind of make the rounds, so to speak. And there's lots of great people at BCM, believe me. They're not always the best match, but
right. That's right. That's right.
There's lots
but
of great
hey, there's
people.
A lot of options, and eventually you can find the one if you come
what
here.
We kid about that a whole lot, but what a better place. I mean, this is the age group that you often find your mate, your lifelong partner. And what a better place to find them than as you really get to know them every day of the week when they're around here at the BCM doing things.
Absolutely.
So now, as a professor, share a little bit about that, the way you shared a little bit about the way your faith intersects your job.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Just last week, I had a student, I'm teaching an online class this summer, had a student email me and say, hey, I just tested positive for COVID, and I'm experiencing really bad symptoms. I'm not sure how I'm going to be making it through the rest of the semester. I was able to email back, I am praying for your health and that you can get through this class. And if you can't, we're going to find an alternative. The student immediately responded back saying, thank you for praying for me. Those, I can't tell you how many times I get those kind of responses. And it, I do have a short introduction that I give for my class. I let them know my husband's associate minister at Beach Haven Church. My faith is a big part of my life. It's the part of my life that I act out of. That's all I say, but I let students know briefly who I am. You know, I'm a mother of four, and I do other things besides teach you. Right. But that lets students know that there's that we are, as faculty, there's more to us than what meets the eye. It lets students, and it, but I also use it as an opportunity to say, we all have our own story. And your story is important, too, to bring to the table. And so just because I say I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm going to belittle anything you say that may not be in alignment with my faith. Sure, because right. I'm going to acknowledge your story, too. And right. I want to hear your story
right.
so that you can share that freely in classroom. And so that's the opportunity I get. I've had a Muslim girl come to my office. Her father had died during the semester. And she's just crying in my office. And I said, I don't know what else to do but pray for you. Yeah. Would you be okay if I did that? And she said, yes. You know, so those kind of little opportunities open up every so often. Mm. You know, students face a lot of crazy things.
Right.
A lot of crazy things. And so for me, I feel like I'm just in my sweet spot. I love what I teach. And I love to hear what's going on in these students' lives because this was such an influential time in my life. I know it is for them as well. And if there's anything I can get to share love, and if they let me, I'll share Jesus too.
All right, that's good. You know, I think it was funny. I guess it's 4 years ago or so. We had a student walk into the church. This was when I was serving at Beach Haven. And we had a lot of students walk in the church, but this one in particular saw you sitting up there where uh-huh. you sit, and he said, "Is that Dr. Walker?" And I was like, "Who? Who are you? What?" Yeah. And then I was like, "Oh yeah, that's Jennifer." And then I was like, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that's Jennifer. Yeah, that's Dr. Right. Walker." And it was so funny,
professor, but
it's cool to yes. hear you say that. You know, you're a professor, but you also have this life that you live, and that your faith. You know, drives that, and that's I think that's so important for students to know. And I think one of the things that you and I have talked about even previously is that it's so important for Christian students to know that they're not alone on campus as well.
Most definitely.
Tell us a little bit about that. Like, I know, are there what's a great way for them to know that other than just to kind of hearing an intro or whatever?
So Crew actually has a faculty group right. here. On we call ourselves faculty. Commons. And so there's Christian faculty that meet regularly here on campus. There's even a website on the UGA Crew website that lists all the current faculty that are Christians, and right. we've put our names on there and our testimonies.
That's cool. So that's awesome. That's a resource that they could use to that's find great. Who their Christian faculty are.
Yes.
Or even if they're in your class or something, they could, I guess I'm assuming, ask yeah. you that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You could put them in contact.
And
that's
awesome. What a model for the mission of the university. In terms of seeking truth, in terms of educating students as well-rounded human beings for the rest of their life, that model of diversity and vulnerability and mm-hmm. accessibility, mm-hmm. I think, regardless of a person's faith background, that's a tremendous story of the university, that there's all kinds of folks that,
yes.
and if you come to university thinking, oh, all these professors are, and fill in the blank,
right.
that's just stereotyping.
Yes.
That's just not the
and
truth.
And it's not yeah. fair.
It's not fair.
All right, so there's one more question that we want to ask in regards to some advice for us, but before we do that, I'm just going to throw one out there for you that you're not expecting, but I just want to see how you take it. All right, so here's the deal.
Okay.
All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is just for a little fun. I know that we've got some of our students that have been in your class, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sarah Farr, one of our VP, was yes. telling me, oh, I love Dr. Walker. This is awesome. We're interviewing her.
Yes.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most difficult, 1 being the easiest. Okay. How hard of a professor? How hard is your class?
Ooh, boy.
Tommy. Yes.
Oh, that's a tough question.
Oh, gosh. They can go on Rate My Professor and look that up.
It's hard to rate yourself. You think you're a perfect professor.
Yeah.
This is just for fun.
I've been told that there's some easier faculty to take.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
So,
that's fun.
So maybe seven, that's a good number. Eight.
Or 10 being the easiest?
No, 10's the hardest.
10's the hardest. Yes, I would say 7, 8. I have been, it's been noted. I look myself up on the internet every so often, and they do say you can't go in and memorize everything. You really have to figure out the material to do well.
I ask that question because it's fun. When we do like Great Exchange, one of my favorite questions to ask is on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are you? You know, that question that's on like the little surveys we do with Great Exchange. Because you get stuff across the spectrum. I figured this would be a similar question.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
So go ahead, Jerry.
So you've been a BCMer. Now you're a professor. So what advice do you have for Tommy and myself? What advice would you give to us?
Oh, so as campus ministers, and y'all are already doing it, but just being available, you know, within reason, within limits. Y'all have your own lives as well. But just pouring in and having that availability, just being present.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. Just in my own reflection of my time here, looking back, and now as a adult with children, and seeing how much availability they had, you know, all the campus ministers during the day, and then even our events that we had in the evening. And sure enough, you know, they didn't all have to be there all at once, but just being present.
That's awesome. That's good. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us and giving us some of your time today. And guys, thank you all so much for listening. Again, this is Dr. Jennifer Walker, a current faculty here at the University of Georgia, but also one of our former presidents here at the BCM and BSU. And so thank you guys for listening today. And don't forget, Tuesday, we've got our next devotion coming up. And Jerry, I'll let you finish it off and give us a good go, Dogs.
Well, we are grateful for you all to tuning in today. And thank you again, Jennifer. And go, Dogs.
Go, Dogs.
Go, Dogs.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the UGA BCM Podcast. Follow us on Instagram at UGABCM and visit us online at ugabcm.org to find more information about us. We'll see you next time.